Okay, let's learn a little bit today. Page 312. Hashem. Here, let's learn a little bit today. Hashem on page 312. Mark is here. Mark has arrived. Mark is in the house. We're in the marked house.
We're on page 312.
Thank you. 312. Hashem kamo sirah hashiva nafshi miso. Not miso, miso ehem. This is a very hard pasuk. This whole parak is a very hard parak. The words of the entire parak is very difficult. Let us sit in the Mitzudas David. Mitzudas pasuk Yitzayin, Kama. So let's listen to the Mitzudas Tzion. We have a very hard pasuk. It's good to start with the Mitzudas Tzion. Look how we translate the words first. The word of Kama, Inyon Zaman Rav. The word Kama means how long. How long of a time? How much time will this continue? Mi Shou Ehem. Shoah, we learned, is darkness, chaos. Okay, the Holocaust. Darkness, Shoah. Mi Shoahem. Inni Choshech. Mi Kefirim. Chazokim Ka Kefirim. A Kefir is a lion. Yechid Asi is Nishmasi. Okay, so they're very, very important keywords. Very good words here in this pasuk. Look at the pasuk Yitzayin. The word Kama means how much time. The word Mi Shoahem. Miloshon Shoah. Darkness. Mikifirim means a lion, but in this context it means something that is very, very powerful. Yechidasi means my neshama. So now, what does it mean in the entire context? Pasuk Yitzayin in the Mitzvot David Kamo Sire Admosai Tire Be'oni. How long will you witness my affliction? V'loy Toshen, you will not save me. How long will this go on? Hashiva Hatzel nafshi, save my nesham micheshkas hatzaros, in the darkness of tzaros asher yoviu eloi, save my nesham from the darkness of goats which they bring upon me. So let's go look back now in the pasuk again. Hashem, kamo sire, how long will you tolerate my suffering? Hashiva nafshi misho ehem. David begs Hashem to restore my nesham, my soul, from their darkness. Mikefirim, from the powerful, my powerful enemies. Yechidasi, save my soul. In other words, the word Hashiva is meant to be repeated twice. Hashiva nafshi misho ehem. Restore my neshama from their darkness. And again, repeat the word Hashiva nafshi, Hashiva na'ashiva mikefirim yechidasi. The word yechidasi is another word for neshama. Restore my neshama from the lions, meaning from the mighty, my mighty enemies. They're overwhelming. Let us see Rashi. Rashi pasuk Yitzayin says, "Kama sirek, kama erech apayim yesh lofanecha lirois kol ele." How much patience do you have, Hashem, to witness all of these terrible things? Mi sho ehem mechoshech shelohem, from their darkness. Mi kefirim yichidasi musaf al hashiva nafshi. This expression is going back on the word Hashiva, which means repeat the word Hashiva, repeat these words. Hashiva mikefidim yechidasi. Hashiva here means restore, save my neshama from these vicious enemies. Now, what is very interesting over here is Harashi says, how long will you witness kamo erech apayim? How much patience do you have? We know the Gemara says that we say in Shemoneh Esrei, Kel HaGodol HaGibor V'HaNoira, and the Gemara says that they at one point in time they stop saying these words. These words are taken from Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu in the Torah, he wrote Hashem is Godol, he is great, a Gibor, he is mighty, HaGodol HaGibor V'HaNoira. Daniel said that we should no longer say the word Gibor. Because the Goyim, they cause us very good. We are the Gevuros of Hashem. Hashem allows our enemies to go and attack us, and it causes very, very great harm. So Aye Gevuroisav, how could we say that Hashem is a Gibor when we don't witness Hashem's Gevur in this world? We don't see it. Aye Gevuroisav. And then the Anshei Knesset Sagadela came along and they said, Heim Givuroisav, Kama Erech Apayim Lorishon. Exactly the words of Rashi over here. The Gevura, what is Gevura? Is there a Gibor? Hakoivesh Asisra. Gvura is when you hold back. When you have the ability to hold back, that is called gvura. Restraint. Self-restraint is the ultimate gvura. Power. It's powerful to go, you know, to punch someone, to express your power. But a greater, higher level of gvura is when you're able to control yourself and restraint. Restraint is the ultimate gvura. So the fact that Hashem allowed our enemies to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, and Hashem did not punish them, Hashem was patient, Hashem did not yet destroy them, this is the greatest revelation of Hashem's gevura. He's extremely patient, even with the wicked. And the Musar is, if Hashem is patient with the wicked, and he does not destroy them immediately for what they have done, how much more so lachas kam v'kam u'lak v'shbaruch Hu is patient with Klal Yisrael, tzadikim, if chas v'shalom a tzadik does an avera, how much more so does HaKadosh Baruch Hu show restraint and patience and does not punish tzadik and allows him time and opportunity to reflect and do teshuva so that he should not be punished. Madach HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows patience. He is erech apayim to the wicked. And look, the wicked, they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, and Hashem has not yet punished them. They're still, you know, they're doing what they're doing. Allah has kam v'kama, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows patience to tzaddikim. Hashem does not punish them right away, but Hashem gives the tzaddik an opportunity to do teshuva. You know, on Tisha B'Av, I didn't get a chance to say this. I wanted to say this on Tisha B'Av about this year. I spoke at Tisha B'Av about Babi Yar. I spent a lot of time preparing Babi Yar. I was very distracted at the end when I was, there wasn't too many people there. I think there were more people will come here than come there. But I spent a lot of time at the end. I didn't pace myself, so I was out of time.
You had more people there.
Oh, a few, whatever.
Just about.
So I spent a lot of time at Babi Yar. Babi Yar was. I'm sure you all know better than me. Babi Yar is it was in the news. It was in the news when Russia invaded Ukraine. I think it was 6 days after the Russians this year invaded Ukraine. There were reports that they bombed a television tower in Babi Yar, on the complex of Babi Yar. They bombed a television tower. I think six people died in this attack, this missile that targeted the communication network that was there in that complex. And in the news they started talking about, look at the Rishonim, Putin, he's trying to kill the Jews all over again. And what was Babi Yar? Babi Yar in 1941, when the Germans invaded Ukraine, with the assistance of the Ukrainian police, the Ukrainians are wicked beyond belief, with the militia of the Ukraine, they put up signs all over Ukraine that all of the Jews in Ukraine, in Kiev, not Ukraine, Ukraine, how many people live in Ukraine today? 43 million people live in Ukraine. It's a lot of people. How many people live in the United States of America? 320 million. How many people live in Russia today? 145 million. Okay, so it's not for nothing that Putin wants Ukraine. That's quite an increase in the population. You can bring the population of Russia almost up to 2 million, to 200 million people if he raids. Morning, Abar. So so when they invaded Ukraine, so there was reports that he sent a missile to shoot down a television tower, radio tower, television tower, communications tower in Babi Yar. Again, in 1941, when the Russians invaded Ukraine, the Russians put up notices all over Kiev that every Jew must show up to this area, this location called Babi Yar. What was Babi Yar? When the Germans invaded Ukraine, so the Germans put up signs that all of the Jews must appear the next day in this place called Babi Yar, which was an open area. It was just a big open area. What do they use it for? I'm not sure what they use it for. It was a big open area, and the Ukrainians assisted. Ukrainians, together with the Germans, rounded up all the Jews, and approximately 34,000 Jews were forced to walk all over Kiev and come to this place called Babi Yar. They were told to bring their possessions and their documents when they arrived, and this took place Erev Yom Kippur, 1941. When they arrived, they took their documents and they... Sorry? The Shana Rabba? No, it was Erev Yom Kippur. What? Chocolate, okay. Whatever it was, they told them to take off their documents, they burned their documents, they were bitten by dogs, they were beaten up by Nazis. This was a special Nazi unit. You know what the name of this unit was? This Nazi were the worst of the worst. And they stole their possessions. They were bitten by dogs, hit by the Germans, and they told them to take off your clothing, and they told them to go through this ravine, this narrow path, and when they came on the other side, basically it was just this big massive, you have to see the pictures, this big massive pit, and they told them to stand at the edge, and they shot them one by one. And over 2 days, they murdered 34,000 Jews. Okay. Then what happened next? In 1943, when the Germans saw they're losing, and they're going to lose the war, they brought in from concentration camps laborers to exhume the bodies and burn them, to erase any evidence that this crime ever happened. So it was bad enough what they did, the horrific murder of Jews. The crime went on where they tried to cover up their crime. When the Soviets eventually came back and took back Ukraine, they also wanted to hide the fact that Jews were killed here, because the Soviets hated the Jews just as much, if not more, than the Germans. So the Soviets went and they made Babi Yar into a garbage dump and into a construction site, a storage site. They store their tractors and their bulldozers to basically cover up the fact that anyone was killed there. The truth was, and during the war, over 100,000 people were eventually killed in Babi Yar. It started with 34,000 Jews, but over the next 2 years, they murdered more and more and more. They murdered a lot of prisoners of war, gypsies, and people that were, you know, sickly people. But the estimates are that 90,000 of the 100,000 people that were murdered in Babi Yar were Jews. And the Germans tried to deny it, and then the Russians tried to deny it. Finally, at some point in time, with the collapse of the Soviet Union, I think 1996, they had no choice anymore. The Russians had to admit that people were killed in Babi Yar, but it was a crime for anyone to dare mention that a Jew was killed in Babi Yar. Who was killed in Babi Yar? Russians, prisoners of war. Babi Yar in Holocaust studies represents Holocaust denial. It's a dogma, a very stark dogma of Holocaust denial. And then finally, when you're caught red-handed, oh, there was a Holocaust. No. It was a humanitarian crisis. It wasn't nothing. It wasn't because we hate Jews. Jews were just collateral damage of war. It's not because there was a sinner against the Jew of the Kedusha of Klal Yisrael. And why am I telling you this? Because of this Rashi. because this year is 2022. When did the world know publicly that there was a Holocaust taking place? The Holocaust began in 1938, Kristallnacht. I mean, the atrocities that took the day, they began to take place in 1938. But it was in August 25th, it was already into Chodesh Elul, the cables arrived in America to different Askanim that exactly what is going on. It was right after, during the liquidation of the Warsaw Ghetto, and the already 2 million Jews already were killed. And it's amazing, no one even knew. I mean, the people knew, obviously, but they didn't know. It just wasn't, for some reason, it wasn't out in the open. And there were plans to murder another 4 million Jews. It was public knowledge. And when this information reached the White House, Roosevelt and his henchmen, it was a Reform rabbi,
Weiss,
he was a Marusha, plus some other, and he told them, it was like public knowledge, he told them, shtoik, quiet, intimidation, don't you dare tell anyone, it doesn't, you know, fit our narrative of what we want to do, and no one should know about this. And this, they tried deliberately to hide it for at least 3 months. 3 months, you didn't hear a word about it, until already in November, then already it was more out in the open. They couldn't deny it anymore. They would have admitted it right away and put into motion the war board. They could have saved, it would have been a different outcome. The war would have been very, very different. And it, this year is exactly 80 years from an 80th anniversary of Holocaust denial, where the information was presented. There are certain reports, I don't remember the name of the people, there were certain very reliable reports. There was a person, a very reliable person, reached all the Rabbanim, and basically this year, August 25th, is the 80th anniversary of the world becoming aware what's going on in Europe.
The Rigner
cables. And it was in August 25th.
Because they had eyewitness people escaped Auschwitz. They drew maps of the camp.
But the Warsaw Ghetto, I think a lot of it had to do with the Warsaw Ghetto, and what the plans were. They knew everything. It was public knowledge what was going on. There were 4 million Jews who were still alive. And the United States could have done an enormous amount. And the United States Roosevelt deliberately decided not to do anything. And not only not do anything, to threaten people, if you go and you make it public knowledge, there'll be consequences. He told wasn't it Weiss? Weiss, he told him,
Wise.
And Wise, yeah, Stephen Wise. And Stephen Wise went along with this. Like, you know, today, if you don't follow the agenda, the government's not going to like you. Okay, there's a lot of stuff coming out now. Every single day, if you read the news, what's going on during COVID, it's shocking. Every single day, there's this a fire hydrant of information that's coming out now. Every single day, new revelations are coming out. What was really going on behind Dr. Burks? Remember that woman over here? She has a tell-all. She's writing a book. Shocking what she was. You believe her if you want to believe it. If you want to believe it, remember she was on television together with, she stood together with Fauci. So Trump fired her. She was fired. Trump is no tzaddik in all this. But she stood together with Fauci in the early days when it was a pachad maves, not pachad maves. There was maves, and no one knew what to do. And then all of a sudden, if you noticed, not like a month later, she never was there again. She disappeared. What happened to her? Dr. Burks. Remember Dr. Burks? She disappeared. She was fired. She was fired by Trump.
She quit because they caught her not wearing a mask on vacation.
On vacation?
That she went on vacation.
Without a mask?
Without a mask.
And that's why they fired her?
And that's what she left. And they did fire her. She had to resign.
I think she was told to quit.
This is now a tell-all that
Yeah?
She was against it, but at that point...
Just revenge. Is it all true what she says? Who knows?
She could have believed it, but she went along with Fauci and
whatever. But Roosevelt clearly knew what was going on, and he basically, his administration threatened anyone that would reveal this information, there would be consequences. It did not fit the agenda and the narrative, and unfortunately many Jews went along with this. There were 4 million Jews that were yet to be killed, and they did nothing, zero, for 3 months, which allowed the Germans to put into motion their whole apparatus, their killing machine, Auschwitz, to move ahead. It would have been a very different outcome had they immediately stepped up and made a macha that this will not be tolerated. It's a terrible, terrible thing. It's exactly 80 years since this horrific revelation of when it became public knowledge in the world what is going on, and there was a deliberate attempt to deny, to silence anyone that wants to reveal this. Now, why am I telling you this? Because 80 years is gevuros. The reason why I'm telling you is because 80 years, v'im b'gevuros, shemoinim shana. Gevuros. And what is gevura? Ezehu gibor, hakoivesh es yitzrei. Is to conquer. So Daniel said, how can we say in Shemona Esrei, hakel, hagodol, hagibor? How could you say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a gibor? Ayei gevuroisav. There are Gentiles, the Goyim, our enemies. They have destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, and Hashem does nothing. Does nothing. He lets them do whatever they want. Ayei gevuroisav. Along comes the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, and they say, Hein, hein gevuroisav. Look, kamo erech apayim, how slow to anger is Hashem, even for our enemies. Even our enemies, the Goyim, kamo erech apayim. Exactly what it says here in Rashi. Rashi in Pasuk Yud Zayin. Kamo erech apayim yesh lefonecha lirois kol eila. Givura. That's exactly what the Gemara says, that the Anshei Knesset HaGedol said that it's worthy that we should say in the Shemona Esrei, HaGodol HaGibor, HaGibor, HeinHin Givu Roisav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is patient. And what is the Musar Haskel? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is patient with the Goyim and allows them to get away, is patient and allows temporarily them to get a pass and not be punished, Al achas kama v'kama ben b'nei shel kal v'chomer, is the Kadosh Baruch Hu patient with his nation, Klal Yishol, the Amech kulam tzadikim, the Amech kulam tzadikim, your entire nation are tzadikim, and if Klal Yishol does an avera, we have done averas, m'bnei chato'enu golinu me'artzenu. Alachas kama v'kama, Kadosh Baruch Hu will be patient with us and allow us to do teshuvah, to bring the geula. It's a kal v'chomer. If hein givurosav, 80 years is the spitz of givura. This year is exactly 80 years from the ultimate sin that happened in this generation, the sin of silence. I'll give you an example. You go back to Ma'aseh Bereishis. Cain killed Heva. So it's a terrible sin, right? It's a terrible avera. Murder. The first murder in the Torah. Cain gets up and he murders Heva. Then there was another avera. And the second avera, you could argue, is even greater than the first avera. Hashem says to Cain, Ayei Heva Lachicha. Where's your brother? Where is he? I haven't heard from him lately. What happened to him? There are only two people in this world. Where is he? So Cain says, "Hashomer achi anochi? Am I his guardian? Well, what do you want from me? Hashomer achi anochi? You liar! You're the murderer! You're denying! Cover up! Cain murdered Hevel. That's avera number one. Avera number two. Cain says." Hashomer ochi anochi. Question. which one of these two is a greater Avera? Mayor, what do you say? Which one is a greater Avera? To murder, Cain murdered Hevel. That was Avera number one. Avera number two, Cain says to Hashem, Hashem, Ruach Yanochi, what do you want from me? I didn't do anything. Cover up.
He said, by saying,
no, that's not denial.
It's a defense mechanism.
A defense mechanism? He's denying. He's denying accountability.
It's deflection.
It's denial.
It's Pashav. Hashem says, where is Cain? Where is your brother? You're a murderer. Where is he? And he says, I didn't do anything. Hashem, Ruach Yanochi. No, that's not a cover up. That's not a cover up.
No. Who told him not to murder? How did he know?
So you, the murder.
It was chutzpah to answer that way.
Okay, I don't have any proof either way.
There are two
terrible averes. Terrible averes. Murder, and then there is indifference. Okay, you don't want to say, maybe you don't want to say you don't want to say that it's a car of indifference. Hashem, Rachel, what do you want from? Who cares? Who cares where he is? Who cares? Well, let him go. He's on vacation. He's in the Caribbean. Who cares where he is? Then Hashem says to him, "Dnei achicha tzayikim alai minhu adama." You're a liar. You're a murderer. And then Cain says, "Godol avoini minisai." I have no proof to this. This I have no proof to. When Cain finally came to terms with what happened, and he said, he says, God, Godol Avoni Minisai. On which sin did he say it on? I give you three choices. He said on both. There were two sins. Sin number one is murder. Sin number two is Hashaymer Och Yanochi. That is a sin. However you want to define it. You want to define it as indifference? Do you want to define it as denial? As a cover up? It's a sin. Hashem says to him, "Dnei achicha tseakim elai minhu adama." You're the murderer. You liar. And then Cain responds, "Godol avoni minisai." What is the subject of avoni? Is the subject of avoni the murder? Is the subject avoni the cover up or the indifference? Or is the avoni both together? I don't have an answer. Li bi oimer li, even though I have no answer, and I have to work very hard to prove this, is that when he said gadol avoni minisai, it's not going on the murder. It's going on what he said right before, hashomer achi anochi. That's even worse. It's bad enough to be a murderer, which there is. I mean, the crime is unbelievable, but they have no conscience, indifference, no accountability of what you've done. And to say Hashem Ruach Yanochi, that's pretty serious. That's serious stuff. Godol Avoni Minisai. This year is exactly 80 years, exactly August 25th, will be exactly 80 years from when the time when the cables arrived from the most reliable sources in Germany, in Europe, exactly what is going on in Europe, what the plans of the Nazis are to exterminate Jews throughout the world, what they've already done. They've already killed 2 million people. They're planning to make, they're building Auschwitz. They're going to kill another 4 million people at least. It was public knowledge. And the people who had power to do something, they said, Hashomer Och Yanochi. August, there should be a big event in Klal Yisrael. It's on August 25th. It's sometime in Elul. I looked up the date. It's like the middle of Elul. The Hebrew date is in the middle of Elul. Hashomer Och Yanochi. It's exactly 80 years since the world said, Hashomer Och Yanochi. Which I'm willing to suggest is what Cain was, is the same exact sequence of events happened at the time of Maaseh Bereishis. where Hashem said to Kayin, where is your brother? And he said, Hashem Ochi Anochi. And on that he said, God Lavoni Minasoi, 80 years. And where is the accountability for all of these Rishoim? It's been 80 years. Nothing. Zero. They wiped their hands. They're still denying it ever happened. They're still saying, oh, it was just a humanitarian crisis. The whole sequence of events the last 80 years is the Holocaust never happened. And if you'll prove to me that it happened, it wasn't really the way you say it. And if you'll say it, you'll prove it the way you say it, it wasn't because they were Jews. They were just collateral damage of a war. Nothing to do with halacha biyadua esav soina Yaakov, to deny the kiddush Hashem of Klal Yisrael, to deny that. And do the goyim, are they punished? Do you see the goyim being punished? You don't. And who asked this question? Daniel asked this question. Ayei givu roisav. And the Anshe Knesset HaGadol said, Hein givu roisav, that Hashem is silent, and Hashem holds himself back. It's one thing Hashem holds himself back in year 1 and 2, 3, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, but when you get this year to August 25th, where it's exactly 80 years, v'im b'gvurois, sh'moinim shana, gvurois is 80. 80, why is gvurois 80? I don't know, but gvurois is 80 years. This is the spitz of gvurois. Is that
80 is, that's in Tefillah Moshe. Moshe, at 80 years old, took over the shlichus.
Ah.
When he was 80.
And he became responsible.
At 80, it says, Shivim Shana, Shmonim Shana, and it stops.
Because once it became, once in the manic.
Like Pirkei Avos says 90 and 100. But it stops at 80, because to Moshe,
that's
his
where he
life began at 80. 80
years old. Bigvuro Shmoinim Shana, restraint. And what does the Gemara say? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu has demonstrated Erech Apayim L'Rishoyim.
By the way, what you said, you could say Baruch Shef Yivanti in terms of HaShom Erech Yivanti, God Ola Bonim L'Rishoy. I read that already. Long time ago, that's what it means.
It's going on.
Temerity for him to say, he realized to say Hashomer Ochi Onochi was the big what. That's what he meant.
Godol Avoni Minisai. He's not referring back to the murder.
Not the murder.
Not
itself,
the murder.
It's even more than that.
Right. So Mayor didn't agree with me on that. Mayor left the
booth. No, it's I
but yeah, it's hard. I tried to find the find
it's
that.
The Shevet Seifa who says
yeah.
that.
Well, how do you know that? Where does it say that? You have to find in the pasuk to see that it's correct.
Right, I understand, but yeah, he lists. I remember reading it. He explained it. He laid it out.
This Rashi says exactly those words of the Gemara. This pasuk says Hashem, Kamo, Sireh. How long will you allow this to go on? How long will you allow denial? Denial. How long will you allow the wicked people just to get away with it? How long? Hashiv nafshi mi shoyehem. Restore my neshama from their darkness. And now Rashi says, repeat the words. Hashiv, just read one word. Hashiva, restore me mi kifirim yichidasi. The word yichidasi is the same word as neshama. Restore my neshama from these strong people. Rashi says, "Kama erech apayim yesh lefanecha lirois kol eile." You're very, very patient. You observe the wicked commit the worst horrific crimes.
This is a very unusual passage because David is saying the same thing. If you go back to Kain saying. Why are you waiting? Why aren't you doing something?
Why didn't Hashem take revenge against Cain?
How old are you? How old is David?
David at this point in time? I don't know. What?
Let's say you're 60. What? How many years? You don't even have gemuras, and you want everything to happen good for you? Who are you?
That,
so he's actually answering his question. He's saying, Yechidot is the answer on the question. He's only throwing out the question to answer it, because it's not a really a question, because, you know, in 60 and 80, even 500 years, you can't know the...
Okay, of course, he's not giving an answer. But he's using this expression. This expression is the same expression that's used in the Gemara by Rashi, by Agibor. Hagibor, Aye Givuroisav.
It's on this week's parsha, that's why I read it. It's on my head right now what you said. It's on the Pasuk Shomer HaBris VaChesed.
Shomer HaBris?
It's the old diatribe on Shomer HaBris VaChesed. I thought it was, what does it mean, Shomer HaBris VaChesed? It goes into a whole long speech about...
What
does it mean, Shomer HaBris VaChesed? What does it talk? Is this a good midah? I don't think it is. Is this a good midah? Is it not good midah? Is this the Hashem is so great? That's what it says in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Ayei Givu Roisav. Hey, the Ayei Givu Roisav, that he shows to the wicked, the Goyim, the Babylonians, the Babylonians. Erech Apayim.
So is that good
or bad? The Gemara says it. I don't know. The Gemara says it. Everything is good that comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem shows to the Goyim, the Rishoyim, Erech Apayim. Hashem doesn't punish them right away. If Hashem, what do we take out of this for us? If Hashem doesn't demonstrate the revenge that he will give to the Rishoyim immediately, right away, he lets it go by, Alach has kam v'kama for Klal Yisrael. The Amich Kulam Tzadikim Li Oilam Yirshu Oretz, and we have problems because obviously Umibnei Chatoenu Golinu Me'aretzenu, and Hashem has not punished us fully because Hashem is giving us an opportunity to do Teshuvah. Hashem is giving us, if Hashem shows them, gives them an opportunity which they'll never take up on anyway, and ultimately they will be destroyed, but surely Hashem has rachmanis upon us, and Hashem gives us a chance to do teshuvah. Okay, so this over here is mamash avish. Next words, mi sho ehem shoa. The mitzvah over here, for some reason in Tehillim, everyone seems to like that the word shoa means darkness. When we discuss this in Yeshaya, there shoa means chaos. For some reason here in Sefer, the word shoa means darkness. Mi choyshach shalohem mi kefirim yichidasi musval hashiva nafshi. The word kefir means a lion. Yechidasi musav. You have to add a word into the pasuk. Hashiva, save me. Mikefirim, from the lions. Yechidasi my neshama. Hashiva mikefirim. Yechidasi my neshama. Okay, let's take a look at the Radak. The Radak quotes from the Kinois. He quotes the pasuk from the Kinois, which is what it means. Hashiva. Pasuk Yudzayin. In the Radak, Hashem kama sira, ad kama sira be on you uva lachatzime. How long will you witness my affliction, my oppression? Ki ilu omar ad mosai tira be on you uva lachatzime. And kama ner rishon yachashiv nafshi mi shoyehem. Kimoy. Now this is very interesting over here. What it says over here. Kimoy shamar Hashem mi boshon oshiv mi mitzulos yom shubi inyan hatzala. Return, restore, or perish Mishaehem, Mi Misha Oinam, U Mimehuma San. So he learns over here the word, there are a lot of things going on over here. Let's say one thing at a time. First of all, I find it very, very interesting that over here the Radak quotes the word restore from Bashan. Now, Bashan, Mi Bashan, Ashev, Mi Mitsulosam. This pasuk is quoted in the Kina Tezayin. Zuchor Asher Osor Tsar Bifinim. In Kina Tezayin, we learn about Titus. Titus, he comes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he's metami the lechem upon him, he goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he takes a sword and he stabs the Pareches. The Pareches miraculously gushes forth with blood, and Titus believes that he went and he did the unthinkable. And he then took a Zoyna into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and he took his mother into the Kodesh HaKadosh, and he did what he did. And everyone was watching, everyone was standing there, watching from the roof, and they couldn't believe it. They could not believe, they thought for sure that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would send in a bolt of lightning and obliterate him. Nodav v'aviyu, when they came into the Kodesh HaKadosh, the Makriv, and Ezorah, a Torah, before Hashem, they died. So Allah has come, Kamva, Titus or Russia comes into the fall, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, how much more so should Titus be burnt to a crisp? And nothing happened to him. Not only that, he went and he collected all of the 93 kelim and he put them in, he took the poreches, he took it down and he used it as a sack. And he wrapped up the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash and the poreches and he took it with him and put it on a ship. And then the Kina goes on to say, he took children. He took 300 boys, 300 girls, and he put them on a ship. And he took them child trafficking. For you know what? For you know what purpose? For what purpose he did? To go take them to Rome to use them for Averos. And these children, when they were on the ship, they made a decision. They realized what was being done to them. They decided to commit suicide. And as they commit suicide, they quoted this pasuk. Hashiva mi Boshan, restore us from Boshan. Okay, I don't know what Boshan means, referring to a place. Ashiv mi mitsuloi siyom, I will restore you from the depths of the sea. That ultimately they will be in the Trias HaMeisma, these children that drown themselves in the Yam in order not to be objects of sin, they will merit Trias HaMeisma. And it is interesting over here that this, I always wondered why is that section of the Kina part of the Kina? The Kina primarily deals with Titus coming into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Titus comes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim to do an Avera. And it talks about he then gathers the Kalin, and Hashem left over the Kosel HaMaravi. And then at the very end, it talks about the children. What do the children have to do with the theme of Titus HaRasha coming into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and doing what he did? So it's interesting, the Radak over here, he gives a little bit of an answer. And he says, he quotes this pasuk of Hashiva, the end of the pasuk is Hashem, Kama Sireh. How long will you watch this horrific event? How long will you allow this to occur? Hashiva nafshi mi shoehem, restore my neshama from their darkness. Mikifirim yichidasi, from their strong men my neshama. And the Radak quotes a pasuk. What do you mean hashiva? Just like it says in the pasuk hashiva, Hashem mi boshon oshiv oshiv mi boshon oshiv. Oshiv b'mitzulos yom, just like it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will restore from the mitzulos yom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take you. And it doesn't answer the question entirely, but it's interesting because the children in that kina, they actually quoted exactly this pasuk, and the beginning of the kina deals with observing. Everyone in Klal Yisrael was watching, however they could, what Titus did. And they couldn't believe it. How could this possibly be? How could it possibly be that this, and they were all sitting on top of the roof, the Kina mentions the women, and the boys, and the Zikanin, they were watching, they thought for sure he would be burnt to a crisp, and nothing happened. And what was their expression? Hashem, how do you let this happen? Hashem, you have to go and do something about it. The ones that actually said the pasuk Hashiva Miboshan, which the Radak says captures the essence of Hashiva Nafshi Mishaehem Mikifim Yichidasi, which the Radak quotes, it was said by the children. And they're the ones who said this when they were on the ship. So it doesn't answer all of the questions, but there is some type of parallel that you see in this pasuk with the pasuk of the Radak, and how the Kina finishes off. It finishes off with what seems to be a topic that is not related to the beginning of the Kina, but yet the pasuk that the children cite and they say as they die is exactly the pasuk that is the response to what it says here by David, when David is witnessing terrible things happening. And Hashem is being silent and is allowing this to occur. And David's response is, Hashem, the day has to come when you will make restoration, and the Radak says, oh, Hashiva, you want to live an example of the word Hashiva in the proper context? The proper context is what it says in the Pasuk, what it says in the Pasuk, Hashem mi boshan Hashiv, Hashiv mi mitzulos yam, that's exactly what the children said. So it's not for nothing that incident is appended to the observance of the women and the everyone observing what happened in that time when Titus came into the Kodesh HaKadosh. All right, enough said about this. Let's now move on to the next section. The next section is, okay, the Malbim, we're not going to do the Malbim now. No, let's go to the next Pasuk. Pasuk Yudches. It's a very hard Pasuk. It's a very hard Mizmah. Mizmah Lamed Hei is from the hardest. Pasuk Yudches, Oiducha, I will eventually praise you, B'kohol Rav, in a great assembly, Ba'am Otsum Ahalaleka. Okay, there's repetition, poetic repetition. We are going to look David over here, so I'm going to thank you in a great assembly, in a nation that is Otsum, that is mighty, Ahalaleka, I'm going to praise you. Let's see the Mitzvah of Pasuk Yudches. I will thank you, and he repeats the oz. Oidcha b'kohol rav, and the oz oidcha b'kohol rav. Okay, fine. Rashi, and there is no Rashi on this pasuk. Yitess, al yismichu li oivai sheker. My enemies are false, and my enemies, they wink their eye.
The Chumash Boshan means the best place for cattle to graze.
The Boshan.
Yeah.
Ruvein God Chatzis Shevet Menashe. Mikneraf. They got the Boshan. Mamleches Oig. Right, Mamleches Oig Baboshan. They got the land of Oig, Sichon and Oig, and that was the Eiver HaYarden, that was on the east side of the Yarden.
Is that by the Golan?
No, the Golan is on the other side of the Yarden. Golan is on the west side.
Golan is in Eretz Yisrael.
On the west side. The Golan is on the east side?
Yes, east side.
Well,
yeah?
East of Eretz Yisrael.
Okay. I don't know my geography. Okay. Mamleches Oig Baboshan. Boshan is on the east side. That was the chelik of Reuven Gad Chatzis Shevet Menashe. Let's see over here Rashi. Mitzudos pasuk yutes. Oivai sheker. Oivim li b'chinam. Okay, so over here there's a very interesting translation of what it means over here. Oivai sheker. He puts the word sheker together with the word oivai. My enemies who hate me for no reason. It's sinas chinam. It's worse than it's like sinas chinam. They're enemies. Sheker. Why do you hate me? Why? What did I do to you? You've made up lies. You're telling me that I hate. You're telling me. You are making lies as to why you hate me. There's no reason why you should hate me. Oivim li b'chinam for no reason. Yikritzu oyin milas al nishameshes b'shtayim. The word al in this pasuk al must be repeated. These are the basic principles we always come across in Nach. There are many words in a pasuk. Many times you have to repeat a word. The psukim are written in the short form. Al yismichu li oivai sheker, period. My enemies who hate me for no reason do not rejoice over my suffering, period. And then we repeat the word al. Al soinai chinam yikritzu oin. If you have to really reverse the order. Al yikritzu oin. Do not wink your eye, you enemies who hate me for no reason. There are two different ways to describe enemies that have no reason to hate me. There is oivai sheker, and then there is soinai chinam. They're basically exactly the same. There is an oyev and a soine. There is sheker and there is chinam. They both represent the same principle. There's oivai sheker and there's soinai chinam. And we have the word al. What should these people not do? Do not rejoice over my downfall. And do not yikritzu oin. Don't wink your eyes in great satisfaction over my defeat. Let us see the mitzvah of it. Oivai sheker, oivim li b'chinam yikritzu oin milas al yimeshameshes b'shtoim. Kilu omar al yikritzu oin. Ba'derech lag. Don't mock me. Rashi. Pasuk Yitzes Oyva Sheker Shesoin In Oisi Al Devar Sheker. They hate me for no reason. Shemeidin Alai Mashloi Ola B'Machshavti Be'Olam. They say about me things I never ever thought about. I never had such machshavas. And they go and they make up things about me. Al Yismuchu B'Mapilos B'Mapalti. Do not rejoice in my downfall. Sinai, Shesoinim, or you see they hate me. Al Yikritsu Alai Ayin. Rashi does exactly what the Mitzvah Stava did. He repeats with Al. Do not wink your eye upon me. Veluloig Be'inayim. Al Mapalti, over my downfall. Yikritsu. Okay, Rav Chol is not here. He's on vacation. I don't know what it means. It means some in old French. Yikritsu Ayin. Hakorim Ayin. Hakortsim Ayin. The winking of an eye. What is the etymology of the word yikritsu? I don't know. Kuf resh tzadi. Obviously, it means like to wink, some type of closing. All right, let's go now to the next. If you look in the Radak, on page 313, in the beginning of the paragraph, it's where it gets wide. Yikritsu ayin ze lo ze. They wink their eyes at one another in a mocking form. It is the movement, the flickering of the eyes. Okay, it means some type of movement of the eye in the form of mockery. Now let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Chav, Kiloy Shom Yidaberu, V'yal Rigei Eretz, Divrei Mirmois, Yachash Shoyhun. Pasuk Chav, in the Mitzudah is David. Pasuk says, Kiloy Shalom Yidaberu, Kol Divrei Mirivu Matzah. The wicked people, this the David over here is getting a PhD in psychology. He's coming to analyze the nature of wicked people. They're liars. They wink their eyes. They rejoice over other people's downfall. They're people of darkness. They're very strong. All these different expressions describing they do things. They engage in flattery, a type of mocking flattery, all for money, for a loaf of bread. They gnash their teeth. It's incredible. They have all these different descriptions of wicked people, and it's amazing that a lot of these descriptions appear in the Kinos. So the Kinos, these are very common, these are old words that constantly reappear. David, everything in the Kinos you see has been plagiarized. The Kalir, he took many of the expressions that he uses in the Kinos from these psukim here in Tehillim describing wicked people. Okay, over here the Mitzvah stuff of it says, Kilo Shom Diver, I called the river Mats, all their words are just with quarreling, the Al Rige Eretz. Now here's what does it mean Rige? Al Hamistadim Mipnehem Bibik Eretz. Things that are hidden from them in the Rige means in the cracks. Okay, where do you hide things? You hide things in cracks. In cracks that no one knows about. Yachshavu Mirma. So the rigay. Look at the mitzudos sion. The mitzudos sion more accurately defines the word rigay inyan bikua, bikua vayiboku hamoyim. Nowhere in Chumash, maybe not even in Tanakh, does it ever say the word kriyas yamsuf. Okay, go ask the average person; they don't know this. They'll tell you kriyas yamsuf. When the yam split, how do we refer to the splitting of the yam? Kriyas Yamsuf. Do you know that it doesn't say anywhere in Chumash? Does it say in Tanakh, in Tehillim? Does it say anywhere? I don't think it says anywhere. Kriyas Yamsuf. It says, Vayiboku Hamayim. Bikia. Bikia is the split. Kriya is a rabbinic.
It says, Roga Hayam, Roga Hayam, Vayihemu Galav. It's Pasuk. Somewhere, I don't know.
What does it say? One more time.
Roga hayam bayehemu ganav.
Roga hayam.
The waves are making noise. The roga hayam.
Oh, roga.
Roga de lashon ragua.
Ragua. Wow, fantastic. Amazing. Roga.
Roga. Oh, but not
Rogai is Rogai. Not Kriya, no. So he's saying this word, Roga, this word. Bikua.
It fits you into Shalom. Shalom is peace. And the more Shalom is and also the Alrike should be Roga, it should be peaceful and
but instead,
Aval is not.
They make a splat. Shalom is when you come together. A Bikia is when you split. Very good. And Rige is the same Riga. Nowhere in Tanakh, maybe I don't know about. I don't think. Certainly not in Chamishe Chumshe Torah. Does it ever say the word Korea? Koreas Yam. That's a rabbinic term. That is a rabbinic term which needs the explanation. Why did Chazal ignore what it says in the Torah? Vayibaku Hamayim, Vayibaku Bikua split. And here in Tehillim, David is using the word to split, the word rige. Rige means a crack in the earth. And as Rav Kalman noticed that rige hayam, David also, when he refers to the splitting of the yam, he used the word rige, which is the same word over here, which means another word for bikua, and does not use the word kiriya. It's a completely different word. And that is a very good question. Why did Chazal ignore what it says? Vayibaku hayam, and instead use the word vayikuriyas hayam. There's a lot to be said about that. But here we have this word over here in this context, and he's saying kiloy shalom yedaberu
v'alri. I don't know how long ago Dayenu was written. I mean, when you know, even Shikatsu Yami, one of the Dayenus,
Ilu Karolon was Hayom and Halom. Ilu Karolon was Hayom, Sorenu Besechai Dayenu. So Kara, they're also Kara.
What was that written?
That was after the Gemara. The Gemara says
Kriya Sayyam.
Yeah,
I understand it's after the Gemara.
So it's drawing from the Gemara, not from the Pesuk, not from Tanakh. In a Chanani. So, you know, this is a very big problem with the Maskilim. The Maskilim, you can catch a Maskil. Can you catch a mouse? You can catch a Maskil. The Maskilim, they were experts in Tanakh, and they were not experts in Chazal.
History tells you initially they were very fluent people, but you know what it is, it's a slippery slope.
So this was something that the Maskilim, they would do. The Maskilim were experts and incredibly fluent in Tanakh, but they were not experts in Chazal, and the Chazal deliberately chose not to use certain words in Tanakh, and you would. I'll give you a very simple example. Someone I know that was a Baki Mumch in Tanakh, and when someone would say, "Oh, Simchas Vayu, Simchas," so he was came out making Leitzanus, Simchas. It's not Simchas, Smachot. There's no such word as Simchas. Smachot. And someone said to him, you know, I'll tell you why the Minhag Yisrael is to be ignorant and to make up a word, that doesn't exist, Simchas, which doesn't make one bit of sense, and deliberately not to use the word Smachot. Because there's a Mesechta Kitana called Mesechta Simachot. And Mesechta Simachot discusses the laws of Avelos.
Right.
So, someone that's heavily steeped in Talmud and in Shulchan Aruch, and they'll always quote, it says, Kosev b'mesechta smachot, it's written there, mesechta, this is the halacha. And it's quoted, it's not so uncommon that you'll have the Gemara, you'll have a Chazal quote mesechta smachot. So because it used to be that people used to be more fluent in Chazal, and the word smachot, okay, that's the matter, but smachos means death. So you don't wish a person, Emir Tzashem, in your family, there should be smachot. Even though you're right, technically you're right, the word means many events of joy, but if you are fluent in the words of Chazal, you would never say that. Because the word simochos in the words of Chazal means death. It's a euphemism for death. So it's not to be blamed, but there are people who they devote themselves not to the study of Chazal, but to the study of Tanakh, which is very wonderful. Who's no one's coming to make that's the Tanakh. And if you only learn Tanakh without focusing, giving it a flavor of Chazal, so then, and you're a bucky muflig in grammar, and then you want to give a person the blessing with all sincerity that you should have many occasions of joy, it's natural to say in your family there should be smachot. But if you devoted yourself also to the words of Chazal, you would never do that. You would never ever come to say such a thing to another person. Because the word smachot in Chazal all over the place refers to death. Okay, you open up any sefer.
Why you start kiddush by ear by vocal instead of as it says in Kol Mechadishavi, the Maima Kol Asher Asah, you're supposed to start by Arlekinis Kol Asher Asah, Vine Tov Mio.
Whole pasuk.
You don't say that, you say you're allowed to say in the middle of the pasuk because Tov Mio is a reference to the creator Isa. So we start, we start from by ear by vocal.
You don't say Kol Asher Asah Tov Meod. Tov Meod is death. Those who learn Chazal, the language takes on a different connotation when in your mind it's fluent in your mind the words of Chazal. So that is always an issue. So here, how do we get into that? I don't even remember how we got into that. Al Yisrael, so Yikrit Tzu'ayin. Oh, Noga. Rigiyaretz. So Rigiyaretz, for some reason, Chazal did not use the word, I don't know why, once we were a Jewish on that, I don't remember now, but right now, we'll go back.
It's simply a mistake, and now we're trying to justify the mistake.
Sometimes it's like that.
We learn the word Shevach, and you say Shvach, everybody says Shvach instead of Shevach. It's a plain mistake. Shvach is the Bisnichur, the Shevach is the Shem Etzem, Bliss Michul, and Smachot, the Simchot, Otogava. Smachot is a Shem Etzem, Simchot Ha'ibudim, the Smichut.
I don't think there's any such word. There's no, you don't say, even with Smichus, there's no word Simcha. There's no word. There's no such thing. There is?
Not plural.
In plural, there's no, I don't think there's anything in plural, you can't, there's no such thing as, it's a make-believe word. In grammar, to say simchos, it doesn't, I don't think it exists, such a thing. It's just, it's a make-believe, all right, whatever.
It's actually, it's not plural.
Simchas, that's...
Right.
All right, let's go further. We have over here is Rigay Eretz. Rigay Eretz means a crack in the earth. There is a kriya and there is a kriya, and there is a how do you say it in Lashon Yochid? Not a rega, a
kriya.
How do you say Reish Gimel Ayin Lashon Yochid? The Rigay Eretz, cracks, it's the plural. The cracks over here in this context, it means secrecy. It means, it says, V'alurige eretz divrei mirimois yachas shoivin. It's saying very interesting over here that my enemies, they plot and plan against me in hiding. Where is the best place to hide? In a crack, in some type of crack in the earth. Let's see what he says here. Brega koton rega. Rega, same letters. It's a crack in time. Verega kata, interesting. A crack in time. Verega, interesting idea. Let's see what this is in the Mitzudas David. The Mitzudas David over here, go back to the pasuk. Ki lo shom yidaber, kol davar b'riv ha'matzav, yal rigi eretz al hanistaros, al hanistorim b'pneihem, the nistorim, the secrets, the b'ki eretz, on the hidden matters, Mipnehem, Bibiki Eretz, in the cracks of the earth, Yachshavu Mirma. They plot and plan against me in places in the cracks of the earth where no one can find out exactly what they're doing. Let us see what's over here in the Rashi. Rashi was the Galvigi Eretz. Al Dake Eretz. Dake, what is the word Dake? Dake means low doesn't mean low places, it means in pits. V'chein roiga hayom, oiri roga, v'chein perish dunash. Dak A, what does it mean dak A? The crushed, the roiga hayom, the crushing of the sea. Uri roga. I don't know what this is. I have to go back and look this up in more detail. What is Rashi over here coming to say? Is Rashi, is the Mitzudah stuff coming to differ from Rashi? Possibly. Let us look at the Malbim. The Radak. The Radak, Pasik says, Pasik Yites, Pasik Chaf, Ki lo shalom yidaberu kibbo v'lo yachlu darbo l'shalom. Okay, he quotes from Rashi, they're not able to speak in peace. V'yalidigi eretz, besegol. The es noch, the heim arba b'mesayra. Okay, so we're going over here in a wild goose chase. He's saying over here that we're not even reading it correctly. He's saying below, rege besegol be'es noch. I'm not sure. No, he's going on with eretz. V'al rege eretz, not oretz. Over here, when the Mitzudah, when the Radak on page 313 says besegol be'es noch, I believe he's referring to the word eretz. And he's saying it really should be Oretz. Pesach Oretz. Not Eretz. Why does it say over here Eretz? Veheim arba b'mesayra. There are four in the entire Tanakh. In the entire Tanakh that have a V'yesh, let's see, maybe not. V'yesh v'farshim rig'ei min roiga hayam shu inyan b'kia, crack. Kein rig'ei Eretz. The rig'ei Rigay Eretz, Bikie Eretz, Kiloimar, Bimikoimois Nistodim, Hanisrim Divrei Mirmos Yachshavun, the Enoi Nochoin. He doesn't like this pshat. Why not? This is exactly what it said in the Mitzvah of David. Ki, La Machashava, Ain't Sach Mokoim Nistar. If you want to have a thought, if you want to make a plan, an evil plan, you don't need to go into hiding. You're able to have a plan, an evil plan, out in the open. So why would a person go into a cave in order to think about an evil plan? A person can sit here in the shir, in the morning kolo, and plot away against all his enemies. You don't have to go into a cave to have machshavos. The only time you need to go into a cave is el libu el ma'isav yesh b'farshim, rigei eretz, Mi'inyan margoya. Margoya means menucha. Shu'inyan menucha. Uperish, rigi eretz, anve eretz, the humble. Upiram kein glufishwa novim heim rafim v'daitam noicha. The humble people are rafim. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Okay, the people are humble. V'yesh l'faresh oy rigi eretz had deshenim, not upshad, the fat. The Hashananim, the Shananim, it means the people that are tranquil, relaxed. Shechem b'margoya uvenachas, they're in a state of tranquility. Uperush v'al kmo v'im. V'chem v'yavohu hanoshim al hanoshim, means with the noshim. Uperushoy elu hachanefim v'haloyagim im ele hadesheinim. The flatterers, they show up with these leisurely people. Yachas shayvun divrei mirmois, they think words of deceit or lie upon me. Vehein benachas, and they're always in a state of tranquility. Vani goyle uvitzara, I'm always in a state of goyle uvitzara. Okay, so we have over here the Radak is giving us a smorgasbord of translations, the etymology of this very difficult word in this pasuk. Valrigi eretz divrei mirmois yachas. So let's try to review. At least go over there again one more time. Until now, we learned one thing was easy, was the perish of the Mitzudah Stav, and here he elaborates. It means a crack. The al rige eretz, that in, al, also by the way, whatever you're going to translate the word rige, you're going to be forced to translate the word al. The word al over here it has to be translated together with the word al. So we're going to go and come to a lot of troubles. If you're going to translate the word rige to refer to the cracks, then you can add to them, the al means into. That in the cracks of the earth is where my enemies go, they enter in order to plan and plot. So, kiloy shalom yidaberu. My enemies don't speak against me, about me with peace. The al, to, Al here then means they enter. They enter into the rigei eretz, the cracks of the earth. They go into the bat cave. They go into a special bunker, hiding place, where they can plan and plot. They can think about how they're going to overcome. The al into the rigei eretz. Do they go? Divrei, and there, when they enter into that location, they begin a think tank. Right now, I understand why it's called a think tank. Right, I know someone, what are you doing this summer? In the summer, he told me he's working for a think tank. I said, what does that mean? A think tank, what do? We think. They pay you to think? Yeah, it's a rare commodity today. Who thinks? So exactly, this is one of the earliest think tanks. You have over here in this pasuk a think tank, and what does this think tank do? They plan and plot how to deceive and overcome and attack David HaMelech, the Al. And where is the think tank located? It's located underground in a special hiding place where no one's going to be able to know what their thoughts are. That's what it says. V'al, they enter into the rigi aretz, and there, divrei mirimois yachashayvun, they think about ideas, techniques of deceit. Frech radak. If the technique is to think about how to do deception, why do you need to go into the ground? Why can't you go do this in the comfort of your living room? You can do it right here in the koil with Meir. You don't have to go anywhere underground. So that's why the Radak disagrees. And the Radak in his second and third parish, or maybe fourth parish, he seems that the word rige refers to the tranquil. That the people who are kiloi shalom yidaberu, the people who are evil, they need financial backing. Follow the money. Whenever you hear on the news about terrorism, they always say the same thing. Terror costs money. You can't just terrorize people for free. Terrorism costs a lot of money. Follow the money. Follow who's paying for this. Who is paying? That's one interesting thing about this world. Any person who makes trouble, or any organization that makes trouble, whatever it is, you name it, don't get me started, give you examples of all the different types of conspiracy theories of people who make trouble in this world. There's one common denominator. They need financial backing. And when you want to go figure out where everything comes from, follow the money. Who supported the 9/11 terrorists? There were 9 people who boarded planes on that fateful day. Who paid their bills to live in America? Who paid for their flight training? Who paid? Follow the money. They have a name, they have a bank account. Where did the money come from? Who put money into the bank account? Follow the money. Here is the same exact thing. David says there are people who are terrorists. They're trying to destroy me. These are kiloi shalom yidaberu. And you know where these people are? They can be found with the rigei eretz. The people, the leisurely people. It's a euphemism, or it's an expression referring to the rich and famous. The rich people, they have yachts, the oligarchs, they have yachts and they have hotels, and they lie around on the beach doing nothing. They're tranquil. The alrigei eretz, they are backed up by the tranquil of the earth. Divrei mirimos yachashayvun. That's where they get the koyach to fund their deceit. I think it's push. That's what he's saying over here. Go one more time. This is very late. One more time. It's very interesting. I'm reading in the middle of the Radak, in the third line. I don't like this interpretation of what the Mitzvot of is, because the Machshava ain't sorry. Makom Nistar. Rigi Eretz Meinyan Margoya Shinyan Menucha Perish Rigi Eretz Anve Eretz. And now here is something different. Anve Eretz means humble people. So what does that mean? The died in rigi eretz with the people that are quiet. I don't know what that means. What do you mean they're humble? The rigi eretz, the yeshosh oy rigi eretz had the shein in Bashan. That's the other interpretation. All right, we'll leave with that. Tomorrow we're going to go to Pasuk Chaf Aleph. We're going to move on tomorrow to Pasuk Chaf Aleph 21. Let us take a